So I'm not going to go too long. I want to give some time to do some ministry. And when I say do some ministry, I mean y'all do some ministry. God's called the body to minister to the body. And I just want to begin to keep stirring that up and getting words for one another. And so as you're out there, you listen to me, but you can listen to the Lord. You know, if he's giving you something for somebody, we want to have an opportunity to share prophetically what the Lord may be giving us to minister to one another. But I just want to touch on two things that relook at some things I shared last week, and then I want to share something I got this week as that I believe is a key in the area of healing. We've been discussing healing since the second Sunday in June is when we started our healing series, and I believe we're taking some ground. We've had some good, awesome healings. Where's Joel? See, he went up. Joel came up to me last week, and he told me that a few weeks ago he had gotten healed of, was it like tendonitis or something of his arms? He'd gotten prayer a number of weeks ago, and it totally went away, and it hadn't bothered him since. He actually said that his forearms had gotten smaller, and he didn't understand it, and he felt like it was just inflammation. You know, the inflammation there's. And then Deborah, you had gotten healed of neck pain. Is that still doing well? Yeah. That's awesome. So Deborah got healed of pain in her neck that's been bothering her for a long time. We want to keep going after this. And we want to acknowledge when God is doing stuff and give thanks for it. I want to talk about that in a minute. Acknowledging what God is doing and giving thanks for it and how that plays a part in us getting more. But if you got your Bibles, turn over to Luke 11. I think a lot of times where people lose a battle is they grow weary and well-doing when they're not seeing fruit. You're not seeing what you're fighting for in the timetable that you think you should have it. You grow weary and you actually let go and you stop fighting. I don't know if y'all have ever seen that thing going around on Facebook, but it's got this guy who's digging a hole in the ground. And he's digging, and he's like dug this like long, you know, he's underground digging this cave, and he's digging, and it's like there's this thin wall, you know, about this thick. He'd already dug, you know, who knows, like this huge distance, and there's this thin wall right here, and on the other side was the thing he was searching for, and he quits right at that moment because he grew weary and did not get what he was seeking after, and he quit right there. He had done all this work to get to this very point, and he didn't know that he was 6 inches from breakthrough, from the thing he's been going after, and he quit right there, and he never got what he was going after, and the reality was is he was right there. And I think that's probably the biggest defeat that a lot of believers have is they give up, and they don't, out of discouragement, and they don't see the breakthrough that they had been fighting for. And then they're like, well, I guess God's not giving it to me. I hate that thing that rises up, that's self-pity. I hate it because I see it in me. You know, I remember I had a dog that I loved dearly, and it was, I probably shouldn't even tell this story, but it taught me a lesson. I was a young kid. I was probably 18, 19 years old. And I was trying to believe God for healing my dog because my dog was really sick. And I kept asking God to heal him. And I would look, every so often I would go out and look at him, and I'm looking to see, and he looks worse. And he kept getting worse and worse and worse, and I kept asking God to heal him. And I got into this place to where every time I would look at him, I would be more afraid that he wasn't getting healed. So I would begin hollering to the Lord more, Lord, heal him, heal him. But what was going on inside of me was I was actually allowing what I was seeing with my eyes to affect what I was believing. And I actually started praying in fear. Does that make sense? You ever prayed in fear? You see something happening that you don't want to happen, and you're actually praying in fear, and I didn't get what I was asking for. And I was very disappointed, but shortly after that, the Lord began to speak to me, and he began to bring his word back to me, and he began to show me in the scriptures where I mean, even, you know, you may not like this, but this is the scripture. It says in James, it says, but let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Doubt and unbelief shuts down that which Jesus has already paid for. You know, you access what Jesus paid for at the cross for salvation by faith. Well, you access everything that Jesus paid for at the cross by faith. Faith is the key that opens up the door that accesses that which God has already done. And but what happened was I was praying out of fear, and it grew. The more I looked at what I was seeing, my fear grew, and I never got a victory in that area. But it taught me, when I experienced that, I determined I will never again pray out of fear again. I saw, because I realized it doesn't work, you know. And so we know that God, you know, he loves faith. We've given so many messages on faith. Faith is a currency of the kingdom. It's how we access things in their kingdom. It's the currency. We've talked about how that intimidates faith. That often intimidates people. Why it intimidates us, and how God doesn't want us to be intimidated. We're intimidated because we feel like we have to produce faith. We're looking at ourselves again. When the reality, faith is a byproduct of looking at God. When you see him as he is, you're going to have faith. That's why Peter walked on the water when he looked at Jesus, but when he turned and looked to the wind and the waves and the sea, he sank. That's what happened to me when I was praying for my dog. When I started praying, I was looking at God, but I went outside and I started looking at the sickness that was attacking my dog, and I began to look at the sea and the wind and the waves, and I began to sink. And in my sinking, I started begging God to do something that I could tell he that in my heart I didn't believe he was doing anyway. And begging doesn't work. You can't beg God into doing something. God wants to do stuff. He wants to release stuff. You believe God, and it releases. When I say stuff like that, I don't know why, but I often feel when I say stuff, there's like this, there's a resistance. It's like I'm saying something bad, you know, that God wants us to believe him. But he does. It's scripture, right? But I just want to reiterate, a lot of what we're feeling is when we're feeling that is a result of us feeling like we have to produce faith. We have to do it. And the reality is, and I gave a whole message, two messages about this a couple weeks ago. I encourage you to listen to it. Faith is the byproduct of seeing him as he is. You don't strain to be an apple tree. An apple tree produces apple because it is an apple tree. We're children of God. We've been born again by faith. Faith, scripture says we've all been given a measure of faith. It's in us. We just have to keep looking to him, and this stuff will flow out of us. Let's see him better. Let's see him better. Let's keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, okay? So last week we talked about persistency, which is that whole picture I just talked about, you know, of the digging. You know, we talked about the Syrophoenician woman. She came to Jesus. She asked for the Lord to heal her daughter from a demon, and the Lord didn't even answer anything. He was silent, you know? You know how someone, you're praying for God and you get silence? You know, she didn't stop. She kept crying out to the point that when Jesus wasn't answering her, the disciples said, Lord, get this lady to shut up, right? And the Lord said, I've been sent only to the house of Israel. And she comes up to the Lord. And she's like, Lord, heal my daughter. And the Lord says to her, it's not good to give the children's bread to the dogs. It's what Jesus said. And she says, yes, Lord. But even the dogs feed from the crumbs that fall from the kids' table, the children's table. And Jesus looks at her and says, whoa, because you've answered this way, be it done to you. Her faith was her persistency. She wasn't taking no for an answer. She kept fighting. She kept believing. And you know what? The only person in Scripture that Jesus refused to heal, he healed. Let that be a message to us as we're fighting for things. God's will is to heal you. You may have to fight for it, but if it's worth it, fight for it. Anything in the kingdom worth having is worth fighting for it. That was the whole purpose of the wilderness, or I mean, I'm sorry, the promised land, was that you had to value the promised land enough to be willing to go in with a sword and shield and fight for it. That's why God's promises aren't automatic. It's because you have to value them enough that you're willing to fight for them. And we need to be willing to fight for the things that God wants us to love these promises as much as he loves them. So he's given us an opportunity to show it. Fight for it. Don't give up. He's going to heal you. If you're fighting for something, he wants to heal you. All right, so chapter 11. Jesus here is beginning to teach his disciples to pray. He does the Lord's Prayer, which I think is awesome, you know. The disciples teach us how to pray, and Jesus in verse 2 said, pray like this, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who's indebted to us, lead us not into temptation. I love that. Pray that the kingdom come. Why? Why would a sovereign God's kingdom and will not automatically take place? Man has authority in the earth. We talked about that. If you didn't see that podcast, I've been building, if you haven't noticed. I knew not to tackle this subject without going through some of this stuff. Man has authority in the earth. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. Adam had authority of the earth. When he sinned, it caused the whole world to fall in depravity. Jesus came as the last Adam to save us from that because man has authority in the earth. So we have to be involved in God's kingdom coming. We have to be, which includes healing coming. We have to be involved in that. It will not happen outside of our involvement. It's not that it's not God's will. It's just that it takes man partnering with us because he gave authority over the earth to man. Right? So his kingdom come. And then he gets in verse 5, and this is where I want to start. And he said to them, verse 5, chapter 11, he said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. That word in the Greek, ask, seek, knock, all three of those words are. Let me read it how it would read in the Greek. And I say to you, keep asking, and it shall be given to you. Keep seeking, and ye shall find. Keep knocking, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Okay? Now suppose one of the fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? If he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, we just read in James how that when we ask, we're supposed to ask in faith. Let not the person think that he's going to receive who, if you're asking in doubt. That's what he says. But if you ask in faith, believe that what you're asking for is coming about. That's what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. All things you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it shall be granted to you. Now, I'm just reading scriptures. Jesus said this stuff. This isn't me saying it. It's Jesus saying it. He wants us to believe him for things. And so the key to this parable, the amazing thing about this parable, is that Jesus said this, not me. Jesus said it. He says it wasn't because he was his friend that he was going to get up and give him everything he needed. Did you hear that? It wasn't because he was his friend. God loves every single person that dies of sickness. God loves every single person that dies and goes to hell. He loves them. That doesn't change the fact that not everybody goes to heaven because we have to choose Jesus. I know, you know, people don't like talk like this because it's hard, but this is scripture. And I want to be people that can handle the truth a little bit. Is that all right? So I'm sorry, I'm feeling resistance in what I'm saying. I don't know if it's y'all. I'm just kind of hitting it. Jesus Christ loves every single person but not every person receives healing, right? But we have went through the scriptures. We've been doing this for 6-7 weeks now. The scriptures are clear. It's God's will to heal every single person. He does his. When I say that, what I mean is his highest intention is for everybody to be healed, just like it's his will for everybody to be saved. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what the scripture says. It's his will that everybody be healed too. What did Jesus say? He said to the Pharisees, he says, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or say take up your pallet and walk? But that you might know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, he speaks to the guy, take up your pallet and walk. It's easier to see healing come according to Jesus than it is to have your sins forgiven. But yet in the church, we're so quick to believe it's that God wants to forgive our sins, but yet we don't want to believe God wants to heal our bodies. Why? Forget not none of his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all of your diseases. You know why? The reason why is because we've seen so many people die of sickness. And the only and I understand that, guys. I understand. I'm not being uncompassionate towards people who have fought and lost. I'm just saying, let's not blame God, because God's word's clear. He wants them healed. He wants them healed. Jesus said it like this. He said, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If you're seeing killing, stealing, and destroying, which is what sickness is, you know that's from the devil. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundant. That's why the scripture says that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and he went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil. Sickness is oppression by the devil. And we got to start seeing it and begin attacking the devil and stop attacking God at why he's not doing something. Man, it's amazing. We come to God and we attack him. Why aren't you healing him? And the enemy's sitting there. We need to go after the devil and command that devil of sickness to leave this child. And, you know, it reminds me of the woman who was bent over for 18 years. She could, you know, and she came to Jesus to be healed on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees were like, they were watching him to trap him. Jesus comes. He heals this lady who had been bent over for 18 years. And they're mad at Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. And he said, should not this daughter of Abraham be set free on the Sabbath day? Well, something about that tells me a couple of things. One is that she was a daughter of Abraham, but she was sick for 18 years. You know, God's children can be sick for a long period of time and it not be God's will. But until a deliverer arises, someone that believed and knew God's will and could exercise God's will in her life to set her free, it wasn't that God wanted her sick for 18 years. It was that Jesus hadn't shown up yet. Nobody was believing that God wanted to heal. And so Jesus shows up on the scene and he heals them. Bam! And he confronted that enemy. And so that's like, you know, that to me drives home the point that just because we're experiencing something don't mean we're experiencing God's will. And so Jesus shows up to deliver. And so we have to become the deliverers, because Jesus said, even as I was sent, so I send you. Even as I was sent, so I send you. Every single one of you is supposed to be Jesus to the earth. You're supposed to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. But if you don't believe it's God's will to heal somebody, how can you pray in faith? And Jesus said, all things you ask for in prayer, believe. If you don't believe it's his will, how are you going to do that? You're not. All right. Totally back to persistence. A lot of times, like I said, we're digging away and we get to that place right before the breakthrough, and then bam, we quit. Sometimes with this stuff, you have to be persistent. You just have to keep at it. You have to not let go. You have to be willing to fight. And that is a sign of faith when you're saying, you know, you can keep at it in doubt, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about keeping at it in faith, knowing that God's going to answer you. I'm not giving up because I know it's God's will, and I'm not going to take less than God's best. I'm not going to take less than God's best. We have to determine that. The voice we listen to determines our reality. Remember the dream I shared? The voice we listen to determines our reality. Are we listening to the Word of God? It says that says, if you know, that I forget not none of my benefits? Or are we listening to that voice that says, God's not doing nothing? He's not healing you. See, look, you still feel pain. Matter of fact, you feel worse, don't you? That's the way the enemy works. He comes in, he'll hit us hard with symptoms, and we allow those symptoms to determine what we're going to believe. And in that place of that, we've got what we just believed. And I know that's hard. I've walked through this, guys. I'm walking through it right now. I have things in my body that I'm believing God for, and I've been believing for a while. And you know what? I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed. I am healed. I'm not taking less. Now, there's days I struggle. But that's why I got to get in the Word, and I got to preach to myself sometimes. You know, this is, and I do that. When I start feeling that poor, pitiful me, God's not helping me, I have to pull myself up, get back into the Word, and start quoting the Word, taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and declaring what the Word says. And the devil gets the point every time, as Bob Weiner says. So just like we talked about Luke 18 last week, how the parable of the persistent widow, how the king gave to this lady who was the weakest member of her society, she got the highest member of society to give her what she wanted by her continual coming. In the same way, you see in this parable, the neighbor getting the bread that he asked for by his persistence. Let's look at that one more time. Verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. You know, he's knocking. I know you're in there sleeping, but I need some bread. Leave us alone. We're in bed. We're not giving you nothing. Hey, Joe, get up. I need some bread, buddy. On it, that's aggravating me. Now, God's not getting aggravated, but he was trying to show us something. Anybody want me to stop? That's the point. That is the point. That's the same message Jesus gives us in Luke 18. Turn over there real quick. I'm gonna read it one more time. We read it last week. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? Now check out this next verse. I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Isn't that interesting? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What does he mean? There's a faith in that persistence. I'm not giving up. Why am I not giving up? Because I know God's going to do this. I know he's going to do it. I'm not giving up. I'm not taking no for an answer. There were so many people in Jesus' life that didn't take no, and they got everything they asked for. His mama came to him. We talked about that last week. Hey, they're out of wine. Woman, what does that got to do with me? My time's not come. Hey, guys, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Go fill up 6 jars, you know? Example of someone getting Jesus to do something that he said he wasn't going to do. Right? Syrophoenician woman, the example of someone getting Jesus to do something that he said he wasn't going to do. Actually, I guess there's 2 examples. I stand corrected. But see, here's the wonderful thing. We know what God's will is concerning healing based on the Word. Go through the Bible. If you don't have any experience to speak to you, you try to go in the Bible and prove that it's not God's will to heal based on just the Bible. Do it. Many people have tried and failed. You can't. Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. And numerous times, go, your faith has made you well. Jesus is a healer. And so what we find is that we have to stay in this mode of I'm not letting go. Why? With faith and patience, they inherit the promises. Isn't that what I think it's Romans says? It says, with faith and patience, they inherit the promises. It takes faith and patience sometimes. There's been things I've believed for and it's taken a while. Why is that? I don't know, but I know sometimes, you know, Daniel gave us a look at it. Daniel, we read about that a few weeks ago where Daniel's praying, he's seeking God. And as soon as he turned his face to heaven, you know, he goes through 21 days and there's no response. Can you imagine getting on your face and getting serious about something before God? I mean, sometimes we can't even do that for 30 minutes. And this dude's on his face for 21 days, right? Something needs to change there. And I'm not beating anybody up. We need grace to enter into that. But, we got to learn how to talk to our daddy. We got to learn how to spend time praying. Jesus would spend all night in prayer, and he came out of that place so alive with such power of the kingdom. And I really believe that the power of the kingdom is in our prayer closet. That's where we gain that place. But anyway, that's not my message today. Daniel was there 21 days contending for something with no response. And then the 21st day, the angel shows up. Y'all know the story, right? The angel shows up. And he says, from the first day that God heard your words, I was sent. From the moment Daniel prayed, his first prayer, God sent the angel. But he says, I was withheld by the prince of Persia. There was a demonic, angelic being that had caught God's answered prayer to Daniel and held it up in the heavenlies while war went on. It took another angel coming to help out, to free that angel to come and deliver the message. There was a war going on. Everybody know you're in a war. Sickness is one of the weapons that we're battling against. And this applies to any area of our life, but you know we have to become like Daniel. We don't give up. If he would have gave up, what would have happened? Who knows? Maybe the angel would have went back to heaven. Prayer aborted because he gave up. Jesus says, opening line. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Another translation says that they should pray and not give up. You got it? We got to stay after this thing. And I'm beating it home because we need to beat home. This is one of the hardest things to do. This is not easy. I'm not talking about something easy. I'm talking about something that's terribly difficult when we're praying and believing God for something, but we're not seeing it. Don't give up. Don't look at what your eyes see. Don't do that. Look to the author and finisher of your faith, and God's going to come through. He will come through. And let me tell you what happened. When you finally get a victory that you warred hard for, that you fought hard for, and all of a sudden you see God come through, now you got something inside of you that ain't no devil can take away from you. Amen. You've learned something. Until you're willing to fight through some things, the old timers in the 50s, they used to say, pray through. You got to pray through. You know those old Pentecostals? Pray through. They meant you stayed in that place until you could feel it done in the spirit. And then once it was done in the spirit, it would manifest in the natural. We win our battles in the spirit, and then it manifests in the natural. So, all right, I'm going to give you a quick, real quick thing the Lord gave me this week, and then we're going to transition and do some other stuff. Me and Lonnie have been, a few weeks ago, I think it was, we were talking about what Lonnie was saying about some of the Pentecostal churches he used to go to would talk about how if you get any type of healing, meaning that something you're believing God for, you're praying for, and you see any degree of it being better, you know, if it starts to feel better in any way, even just a little bit, start giving thanks for that. Start thanking God for that, what you've received. And we were talking about that, and the other night, I was going to bed, and I was thinking about that. I'm going to turn over Matthew 14. verse 19. I was thinking about, let me read this scripture to you. This is when Jesus was multiplying the fish. This young man had a, this young kid had a two fish and I believe five loaves of bread. And he brought it to Jesus. And it says in verse 19, and ordering the multitudes to recline on the grass, he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitudes, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over. I'm messing this up a little bit. What's the other? He tells the same story in another passage. John 6:11. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also all the fish as much as they wanted. So in that particular version, a few versions say that he blessed them. That version said he gave thanks. So here he gave thanks to these few fish and few loaves, and they multiplied. And I felt like, you know, when me and Lonnie were talking about the whole giving thanks when the Lord's starting, that you're starting to feel something done, I was going to bed thinking about how it was like the fish and the loaves, and how when he gave thanks, there was a multiplication that took place from the little that became a lot. And as I was going to bed, I closed my eyes, and I was starting to fall off into sleep, when as clear as a bell, I saw in my mind's eye, I mean, I'm half asleep, you know, I saw this golden key. And it jarred me out of my sleep. Took my journal and I wrote this down. And that's probably why I got such a bad verse, because I was in the middle of the night. That really is a key to us getting more, is when we learn how to give thanks in the little that we're seeing. And why is that? Well, one, we're acknowledging God for what he's done, what he is doing. But what happens is when you begin to give thanks for the little that you have, you've just shifted your eyes from what you don't have to what you have, and it positions your eyes now upward. Thank you, Father. Now, where are your eyes when you're saying thank you? That's right. You're looking up. You're looking at the Father. When you begin to give thanks for the little, you're looking up. All of a sudden, you're seeing a big God. But what happens is when you're not giving thanks, usually your eyes are somewhere else. They're on the problem, they're on situations, they're on circumstances. But when you start to give thanks, your eyes shift and they go up. And then what happens when you see God? You got more faith, because faith comes from seeing him. And so now you have more faith to believe for more, because you've began to give thanks for the little and you've shifted your eyes to the big God. Now there's more faith. God's doing something. Next thing you know, you're able to believe God for more. And that miracle has just went from two fish and a few loaves to feeding the multitude. You see what I'm saying? So I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share that. I saw that that night, that really is a golden key. It's a divine key for causing the little bit that we're experiencing and causing it to grow. So I just want to give thanks to the Lord right now. Lord, thank you so much for healing Joel's arms, Lord God. Thank you so much for healing Deborah's neck. Father, thank you for the increase that we're experiencing in healing. Thank you for the things you're giving us. We're thankful for, and we want more, Lord. We just love you, and we want to see your kingdom released to us, Lord. We want to see the signs of the kingdom flowing in our midst, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, seeing everything that you did done here, Lord. We just love you. We appreciate everything you're doing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. So keep giving thanks, keep staying persistent, keep not giving up, and keep thanking God for what he's given you. And you know, there's even a place where you get to where you begin to really see when you're fighting, there's like this breakthrough that usually comes in your heart, where you really begin to see that you have it even before it manifests. Mark 11:24, all things you ask for in prayer, believe it, you have received it, and it shall be granted to you. There's something about when you begin to give thanks, you can even start going, thank you, Lord, that I even got it. I got it. So we want to continue giving an opportunity to do stuff.